No, 16.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Gary.
Mark Gary, absent again.
Are we ready, Supervisor Lytle? May we begin?
Go ahead. You may proceed.
Dapper Dan.
Let's call the order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, December 24th, 2014, here Wednesday, 8:45. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall behind the media table. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Next is the consent agenda, and the consent agenda consists of the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held December 10th, 2014. Approve all claims through December 24th, 2014 in the amount of $436,215.56. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 14110286 to Champlin Tire Recycling, Inc. And approve reappointing to the variance board Dave Norton, John McKeever, Russ Schuerman, Karen Stowes, and David Niemeyer to another term as board members. Those are the items for the consent agenda 1 through 6. Need a motion to approve or disapprove or to consider something separately, please.
I would move to approve.
Second.
By Byers, second by Lytle.
I would like to have claim number 14120200 in the amount of $120 for Setzer's Manufacturing considered separately.
Okay.
Matt?
Yes, sir.
I would like to have claim number 141-20236 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., considered separately, also in the amount of $830.64.
Okay, so we're going to – the motion is to approve or approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Tom wrote those down for me. Including the claims minus claim – numbers that were stated by both Supervisor Setzer and Supervisor Juergens. Is that okay to be looking into? Okay, so we got the motion second for that. Okay, so you're voting on everything minus your claim and minus your claim. Okay? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Now we will take up claim number 14120200. To Setzer's Manufacturing for $120. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion, vote. 6 in favor and Setzer abstains. Next is to approve claim number 14120236 in the amount of $830.64 to Johnny's Welding. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. More discussion. Seeing none, vote. 6 in favor, Juergens abstains. Jeez. All right. Next, the regular agenda is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. From the public wanted to come Christmas Eve, I guess. Doug, why did you plan this meeting on Christmas Eve?
He needed more to do.
Jump right into committee reports, building and grounds and winter lights.
Nothing unusual. We'll be coming back after the first of the year with a report on what we're going to do or recommend on the outside on the tuck pointing.
And I need to go back through some emails. Spoke with a gentleman from Bergen Architects. There, what was the grant dollars that gentleman was talking to us about? He sent me an email. There are some, is it grant dollars that are available
for historic, historic buildings? And stuff. It wasn't. There was limited scope of what you could use it for, but there was a question if our courthouse or something like that could be used for it.
In the voluminous amount of emails that a guy gets, I apparently have gone right through it, and there was a gentleman there that was willing to help us go through that, and he said, "Well, you never replied," and I said, "Well."
We'll have him get a hold of me.
500 emails. I'll look for it and I'll try to bounce that email to you.
Should we call your wife and ever help you to find that?
Sometimes I can't even log in, so to my.
K.
county email.
Good, that'd be wonderful.
So I'll look for that. So just
we don't have anything else. Everything else is going well.
To look for that. Equalization?
If you get a chance, go up into the courtrooms and take a look at the redone, the furniture and what have you. They're so nice. So go up and you should be very proud of what we've done in our courthouse. Nothing new on equalization.
Finance and insurance?
Only report that Verizon, the 6 or 8 vehicles, we did get those units installed for the GPS and that stuff here about a week ago, and we're still trying to coordinate a time so we can get Jeff down. We do some training, so we're able to know what to go in and how to use them, I guess, or whatever. So trying to get a hold of, coordinate with Doug, and I haven't talked to Galen about that too, but we're trying to coordinate a time when we can all get together and have some training and stuff. So they've sent me a few alert notices that the one was a mission thing was out of percentages, out of thing and stuff. On 3 or 4 vehicles, they've sent some things on that. I did forward 1 or 2 to Doug, but on yours, it looked like it was more just emission things that weren't going to affect us. So, but other than that, I haven't used it other than that yet, but they've just sent some emails when there's a little alert or something. So, but we will be hopefully here in the next week, get together and that we can have some training with some of them. Galen and Doug and them can go ahead and see how to use it, and we'll keep giving reports on that.
Questions for Myron? None. HR and employee relations?
No report.
Law enforcement, emergency management?
Gus had a successful shop with the cop. Other than that, we don't have a whole lot for this time, unless somebody else has something else they want to add. So, pretty. You don't count today.
I don't count today?
No.
Yesterday, Chief Lang got a hold of me and said that they were planning on moving in for 5 days on January 12th for their renovation. The week prior, maybe a few days prior to that Monday, they're going to come over and do some testing and get it kind of organized for themselves. Just want to let you know that it's what they're plan was.
Navy's aware of that. Navy's
requesting permission to be able to come in and do that.
Sounds like he's requesting permission. Yes.
Last time I talked to Dave, he wasn't aware, and I know I talked to Lang.
Navy in the loop. Yep. Sure, Navy's aware of.
I mean, he's been aware, but not of the date today. I haven't seen the date.
Yeah, you shoot him the date.
What kind of rent did you work out with him?
Do we have any rent?
What?
Nothing.
Don't we pay them rent for when we use their facilities?
I think it's part of the communication contract. You're pulling my leg, aren't you? Anything else for me?
All right. Road and Bridge. You got 6 minutes, Terry, and I'm going to interrupt you again.
I won't take that long. A majority of the discussion that day was on our track divider that we're going to look at here at 9 o'clock. Discussion on that. Shoulder work up at Philly. There was an accident that Myron took care of. The main thing is we had discussions on fuel consumption, and I talked to the supplier. As of to date, the county has used 80,432 gallons of dyed diesel fuel and 48,184 gallons of gasoline. With that being said, I'd like to break that down a little further so everybody knows where these gallons are going. As far as the diesel fuel itself, Beatrice Roads Department, which has all the trucks run out of there and two patrols, fill up a total of 59,500 gallons of diesel fuel. Odell, which is a part-time patrol, 1,261 gallons. Adams, which is a full-time patrol used up there, 4,670. Claytonia Department, 4,846. Philly, $4,037, and Wymore, $5,930, for a total of 80,000 gallons approximately. I just rounded those figures off, so they match fairly close. As far as the gasoline, the outlying shops, Claytonia, 200 gallons of gas, Philly, 207 gallons of gas, Adams, 258 gallons of gas. The assessor's office, 514 gallons used up to date. Dave at the courthouse, 326. Emergency management, Mark and Tim, both, 358 gallons. Blue Rivers, 9,777 gallon. The jail, 1,253 gallon. Sheriff's office, 19,236, and the roads department, 15,432. So approximately 48,000 gallon there used. So that's the breakdown of where the gallons are going and being used up to date on this total. Also, I'd like to mention the State Department of Roads have sent notification to the Roads Department that next year they will be doing an overlay project on Highway 8 from 112 to 77. Starting date is approximately tentatively starting date is in August of next year. It's a 5-mile stretch that they'll be doing some milling. Pavement repair, mill, and resurfacing on that state road. They said no action is required by your county for this work. So that's something that's coming up in Gage County next year. I believe that's probably about it, Matt.
Okay. All let's jump. We're going to bounce around here just a couple minutes for a timed event here. Approve or disapprove confirming December 26th as a paid holiday for county hourly employees?
I would move to approve.
Moved by Dennis.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion. I'll just say this came out. Is it President Obama proclaimed this a couple weeks ago, and the governor also approved that, recognized that, and in our handbook, it does. We added a line in there that says that all government-approved holidays by law that we will recognize as well. So this is an additional holiday that we'll be paying for this year. That's why I put this on there, was to pull it out separate, because it's from a year to year. It's not normally recognized within our handbook, but the way that that it's written in our handbook, we will observe that as a paid holiday. Yes, Kathy.
And this costs us how much for a day's labor for everybody?
I don't know what the day's labor costs are. It's nothing additional. It's not overtime.
I know, and I know it would be budgeted as, because it should have been a paid day, but then it was a day off, unpaid.
Yeah.
But now we're paying for it, and I think that's something that needs to be removed from the handbook, because we don't want to be or should be designated as an unpaid day off, because otherwise every time the president and then the governor follows suit and they come down, and then we end up paying for another holiday, which costs $10,000,
$20,000
for a day.
I used to know that number, but I'm working on that, but I can't pull it out right now.
Yeah. That's a lot of money out of our budget, which I realize had they worked it as was scheduled, that would have been money, but then you're getting something out of it. So I believe that that's a revision that needs to be made to the handbook, and I'm going to vote against it.
Any other comments?
Not really. I guess, we don't have no choice but to approve it the way it's written in our handbook at this time.
Well, it does say it will be a holiday. It does not say it will be paid. And I know you could consider that nitpicking either way, but it does say these are the list of paid holidays. And then it comes back and it says this would be a holiday. It does not specifically say paid or unpaid.
While we're waiting for Matt, I guess I wonder when that was inserted in the handbook, was the, I know Kathy's saying it wasn't, it doesn't really say whether it's a paid or unpaid holiday, it just says a holiday. I wonder what the tone or the idea was when that was actually put in the handbook, if it was meant to be a paid holiday. I'd almost bet that it was meant to be a paid holiday.
Yeah, it was.
Even though I disagree with it, I think it
was. That was a discussion. And, it, you know, again, this didn't pop up. We borrowed several paragraphs, if you will, from other counties. And I know Don's looked into this per the request of the board. And so we're not out here to stand by ourselves on this thing. And I would just, you know, again, the whole idea is to bring one handbook covering all the offices, which was a great idea. And there was give and take as the elected officials met, because what I might want in my office might be different than what the treasurer or the register of deeds wanted. And we got together, brought this thing forward. And so there's a lot of compromise. I would guess the next time you have this discussion would be sometime after all of us stand for re-election. 4 to 8 years down the road, I don't exactly know how the calendars work, but keep that in mind also.
That's not something that falls on us all that often.
So.
Yeah.
Well, however, you know, is this going to fall again for New Year's? Because, again, New Year's Day falls on Thursday.
Again, if the president, he's on vacation, so I doubt if he's going to do anything. That's a joke. But if he would say it's a holiday, and Governor Heinemann would say it's a holiday, now that would be a real tough situation for a courthouse,
right?
Because a lot of people do business on that last day, and that's I mean, but your handbook says it.
And the handbook defines the relationship that we have with the employees, so just. It says verbatim here, all days declared by law or proclamation of the governor to be a holiday. And it lists the holidays above that just to point to what Kathy was talking about here. The only holiday that's on here that is designated as a non-paid holiday would be Christmas Eve as a non-paid. All the others don't have any designation. So, yeah, I mean, technically we could arm wrestle over this as to what the implication is. But, that's what's in there. And so I wanted to call some attention to it and pull it out separately to discuss it. Technically, we probably didn't even have to take action on it because the handbook would define it, but I pulled it out so we would have this discussion.
And they have how many paid holidays?
I just shut it down. 12.
12 paid holidays. 12 paid holidays.
And that is, and I, as far as for sitting on one of the members on the group that put this together, we tried to do comparables with our comparable counties, and there is a large number, and I can't tell you the number now, that do use that language. And so if you're wanting to be comparable with employees, that's what we felt we needed to do, and there were some strong opinions to have that put in to be comparable. So
this actually makes 13 paid holidays for this year.
As well as the other counties.
That
it,
this,
yeah. It would.
No.
12
day after 12, Thanksgiving.
12 paid holidays. We have 12 paid holidays.
Okay. Well, it's going to pass anyway, but I'm just voicing my opinion and taking my stand, so it doesn't really matter.
All right. Any more discussion? We have a motion and a second. Seeing none. Vote your holiday. 6 in favor, 1 against, Kathy. Next, it's late. It's 9:06. We had 9:05. We had 9 o'clock as a time. Receive recommendation from the highway superintendent and award or reject a bid on the tracked excavator. The bids were received on December 10th. So
Gary, between you and Galen, if you want to have more.
I guess I can. I have, we had considerable discussion on this. We had three bids. And we can get into that later in discussion. But anyway, the recommendation is from the Galen's office and the three members of the Road and Bridge are to go with the John Deere 210G for a total cost of $147,536, which includes the additional warranty of in the amount of $5,700.
I'll call for a motion then. That's the recommendation. I need a motion. I need a motion to approve or disapprove accepting the John Deere tracked excavator as our new piece of equipment.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Okay, Matt. With that being said, we had three bids. We had a case bid that came in at now I'm going to include the warranty on all these, the bottom line, which we would have done. The case bid was $127,500. The Caterpillar bid was $163,820, and the John Deere bid was $147,536. With that being said, the reason the decision was to go with the Deere, which is in the middle, was there were two main reasons, I guess. Number one, the case didn't come up with the recommended or spec cubic inches on the engine, and the weight was below the recommendation that we wanted. Those are the two main reasons. Although everything was close, we came up with this decision, and that's why.
I guess the thing that I guess I'd like to add or have Terry mention also was the fact that there was two bids from Case, and the one that actually met the bid specifications was actually $175,000, I believe.
Yes.
Which would have been the highest. It would have been behind the other two.
That's correct, but that in their defense, that particular track loader was well above the specs or right. A fair amount above the specs. So.
And I don't disagree with that. It just
right.
when Galen comes up with specs and when we put specs out for a bid, yep. There's a reason that them specs are made. And yep. When we ask for those spec bids, if you start taking bids all the time that are having three and four specs that aren't met, yep. Then there's a reason you ask for those specs.
Yep.
And I think that we need to keep that in mind. If there's something wrong with them specs, then it needs to be taken care of and adjusted so that it's represented in the bids that we're asking for.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Galen, you got anything to add? Nope. Look off into the equipment.
Could we address the horsepower on that?
If you would like to come visit, that's fine.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Just name and address for the record. You're more than welcome. More than welcome. Name and address for the record.
My name is Mike Peterson. I represent Titan Machinery. I live in Papillion, Nebraska. I've been doing this a long time, except before you guys. There are people like you for quite some time. Probably the gray hair shows that. But anyway, in looking at the bid specs, and I know we've talked to Galen about the horsepower. One was a six-cylinder engine. His concerns about the weight. Thing about the six-cylinder engine, we'll address that first. First of all, the Isuzu engine that we use in that is the most fuel-efficient engine that you can find, and you guys were talking about the amount of fuel you're using. It's the most fuel-efficient engine out there. You use between 1.53 and 3.53 gallons per hour, depending on how you use it, and that's well down the scale. Second thing is, as far as horsepower goes, you have to understand that a hydraulic excavator is really a hydraulic plant form. The only thing that engine does is drive the hydraulic pump. That's all it does. It's not like a dozer. It's not like a wheel loader. All it does is drive a hydraulic pump. Now, when they went to the Tier 4 engine, the Tier 4 recommendations, which is the emission standards that the federal government set aside for all equipment manufacturers, you have to take a look at where you're going to be. When we went have the four-cylinder engine, we don't have as many emissions to start with. But when you talk to engine manufacturers, when you go to that Tier 4, you lose anywhere from 5 to 10% of fuel efficiency, okay? Your engine efficiency. If you look at some of the advertisements out, not by us, but some other manufacturers, when they go to the Tier 4, you're going to see horsepowers come up to compensate for that. Well, this engine we have right here is also used in our larger engine, unit, the 250 that we bid to you. We're using that. We're not short of horsepower. I think you have a contractor here in town that has two units. If you talk to him, I'm sure he's going to tell you the same thing. You're not going to lose any horsepower. You're not going to be short of horsepower because of that. But when you lose that kind of efficiency, how do you get it back? How do you get that compensate for it? Well, what we've done is a couple of things, and I'll just go through the two in the hydraulic system. Is you take loading off the engine. What we've done is made larger lines, hydraulic lines, in order to make our flow, which is speed on the unit, and maintain that without increasing the load on the engine. The other thing we do as far as pressure goes, which is the amount of work you do, the amount of breakout force, etc., is what we do is we have a regenerative hydraulic system, which means that we don't send all the hydraulic oil back to the tank. We keep it into the system so we can maintain that pressure. So your ability to do work and the ability to speed and the efficiency of that work that you do is all there. And you're taking the loading off the engine. So that's why we have a four-cylinder engine instead of six-cylinder, fuel economy, longevity, and we maintain the efficiency of it, of that excavator. The second thing is, when I will go ahead, and I'm going to hand these out if I could for you, because the other thing is, I sold cranes for years. I still love the damn things. But anyway, when you look at a crane and its ability to work, the controlling factor is the lift charts there. What you can do. If you have a piece of equipment out there that's 10,000 pounds, and the lift chart says at 20 feet you can lift 10,000 pounds, you can lift it. It really is a basis of stability of that unit. Now, we're less than 50,000 pounds. There's no question about that. People get it different ways, and be honest with you, I don't know how this works. But I'm going to hand these out if you guys, folks, don't mind. These are lift charts, and what I did is base everything off of ground line.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Now, there's 210. See, there's 210, and you get the 210G. This would be the case. That would be the John Deere. Try to cut that thumb off once. It doesn't work as well as it used to.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
She can have my copy of that.
Okay.
I'll skip it to her after.
Okay. That's the G. Those are both G's.
When I'm done with it, she's going to have this one.
Which one's that? That's the G?
That's not it.
Mm-hmm. Let's just see. Now, keep in mind.
Go ahead, I can't read them.
These, if you have a piece of literature from John Deere, or you have a piece of literature from this.
Before we ever bid, they need to be selling that to the road runners or bring it in the bid. Yeah.
Here's an X. Mike.
What? Oh, yeah?
He had two of the same.
All right.
One.
Yeah. Thank you.
Before we go any further, just one question. You said they run the same engine, both these machines.
Yes.
Are they both the same horsepower then?
No,
also?
They're not. No,
okay.
No, they're not. Right, 116, I think 175.
Okay.
Okay, so they're not the same horsepower. In fact, I think it's more than that. But what I wanted you to take a look at, when you put these side by side, is everybody has to base these numbers off SAE standards. It basically is 87% of your hydraulic capacity. And you'll see some stars on some of these, and that's based off hydraulic capacity. The other one is 75% of your tipping capacity or your stability. Okay? So if you take and you look on the top, of you'll see it 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, 25 feet, and on the other one the same way. That's how far you're reaching out with your load. Okay? Now, if you look at the highlighted portion, it shows ground line. I'm basing everything off of ground line. These numbers will change, but this simplifies it. The other thing, anything off the side, you have to go ahead and pick a load up front. If you're picking a bucket up on the front of material, you've got to get rid of it, so you have to swing it over the side. So really, the stability capacity is going to be over the side.
Yeah.
Okay? Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep.
Okay. So off the ground line, if you take a look at 15 foot, because at 10 foot, you're not going to be working at 10 foot, because everything's based off the center line, so 10 foot's about 3 foot off the end of the track. So you're not going to be working much there. So if you go to 15 foot, you'll see at ground line over the side, because I'll just deal with that, the 210 GLC is 14,155 pounds, or 150 pounds. And this is all based off a 9.7R. Everything's very comparable. And then if you look at the case 210C, over the side, we're at 14,550 pounds. So you can see, as far as stability goes, and if you go out even farther, we can go out to 25 because that's the farthest that they go out. Over the side, you're looking at the 210G, John Deere, at 65, and we're at 6,700 pounds. And we're virtually 2,300 pounds less unit. It's a matter of balance and design of the machine. Now, am I going to say the John Deere's worse? Hell no, I'm not. They've got a good product. But so do we. And what I wanted to do is explain to you that basing it off 50,000 pounds does not tell you accurately the stability of this unit. Now, what you're doing in this machine is you're putting on a 48-inch bucket. That's what you're requiring, plus a thumb. And are you familiar with what the thumb is? Because you've got a thumb that's just a clam that you put out there with a bucket. Because if you're digging up trees and stuff, all that bulky material, you need something to grab onto. So that's it. So you're adding that much more weight out there. Now, these are both based off similar buckets. Ours at 1450, theirs 1468. So these are very, very comparable. But when you get into a 48-inch bucket, you're looking at about 1,900 pounds. And then when you throw another thumb on there, you're even asking it to do more. Well, ours with a yard-and-a-half bucket on there, 48-inch yard-and-a-half bucket, it'll get out there, it'll stretch out, it gets tipsy. Theirs does too. And it doesn't matter whose it is. But the stability of it, I wanted to show you because of the charts, and this comes out of John Deere's hand, a piece of literature. This comes out of ours, so, I mean, it's accurate. But from a stability standpoint, we're just as stable as they are. We're as solid as they can be. And the other thing is, you can save enough money to pay for that day off you're giving on the 26th. How's that? So, are there any questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
I certainly appreciate the opportunity to bid here, and I certainly appreciate your time. Thank you.
And we thank you for bidding. And yeah. Our discussion was all three of them were good machines.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say that, too. I mean, by no means did we say we feel that any of the three machines that were there were not a good machine.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to address these two issues because that seems to be the main issue. And as far as... we're about, I think, $20,000 less money with that, and you're not going to be short a machine if you do buy them. And we'd certainly encourage you to do so. My family would encourage you to do so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yep. Merry Christmas.
a fair offer to the other gentleman, the other equipment out there, if you want to say anything. If not, then...
I tell you what, you guys are probably behind schedule if you want to do the motion, and then do your vote, seeing your motion's already out there. And if I need to come up and speak, I can.
It's time for discussion, so if you don't...
Yeah. Just one thing I'd ask is with what's being said, I don't know, does Galen have any... I mean, I'm not going to sit here and profess to be an expert on this, and you know, the specs were came up with for a reason, I'm assuming. You know, I guess with knowing what we know, is there any change to what we want to offer up as a motion?
I still stand behind my recommendation.
Okay.
I would agree with you. You know, maybe you take a look at the bids for the next time, and maybe the type of engine, 4 versus 6. I mean, considering how the trend with engines is going, changes by the next time it comes around. But unfortunately, you have to set your specs somewhere, and as part of the bid process, and it doesn't always fit each machine equally. And
yeah, and I did.
But you got to go with what you bid.
Yeah, and I did do after our meeting Monday. I did do some discussing with some guys that have talked to the contractor that he's talking about here in town that has them, and I guess I still feel that the specs were set up for a reason, and it seems like the person that I talked to anyway seemed like the weight still is an issue, even though it is, like he says, it's not, you know, whatever he says is, you know, what they say, but what I was told was that the weight still is an issue, so...
Yeah. And I think part of our discussion, too, at our committee meeting was that it's what we've had, it's what they're familiar with, and it's what they've been using as a John Deere, and the guys out there that operate it, they've had good success with it. And sometimes it's that as much as all these other specifications, I guess. I know when you farm and stuff, some of the farmers out there, they're diehard one color or the other color, and when you start arguing with them, you can talk a long time or whatever. But I know the last machine we've had real good success with it. They've gotten along with it real good. They've it's done everything what they've asked it to do and stuff. So,
Miss Kathy.
Well, I just want to say that I liked you and I believed you, even though I think you insulted me. But and I know our board has been accused of always being 7-0, and I'm feeling really obnoxious today, so I'm going to vote against this motion. So,
can I explain? I used to sit where you guys did, and the auditor used to sit where you sit. So that's my only concern.
You know, I've only had one other thing, and that was at when we were doing valuation protests, and one lady came in, and she kept, I was looking at her documentation, and she kept taking it away from me and giving it to the guys, and she called me up the next night and goes, "I'm sorry, I thought you were a secretary." I'm like, that's why we need more women up here. So, like I said, I'm feeling obnoxious today. So
our auditor used to say that.
Usually that happens to Terry, but
yeah.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. All this discussion is on the public record. All the documents will be associated with this motion, so if there any of the claims made or reference to material will be there, so if anyone wants to come back. We have a motion in a second. If there's no further discussion, vote. 6 in favor of the recommendation. Kathy, being obstinate, what was her term?
Obnoxious
today, voted against. we have accepted that John Deere is our excavator.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Angie, you've sat there so patiently and put up with Terry. I guess we'll let you come up.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Can you get a chance on that bid? You guys have four that the chairman needed to sign and the clerk needed to sign to award it.
That's not, what I got right now.
He's not leaving until.
He was turning that end of the year report.
Yeah.
I think your secretary's on this end.
He sure you give the secretary one. Oh, wait a minute.
He got his first.
See, we'll just ship it the other way now.
And you might make a note, Angie, that on the permanent staff at the Gage County Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism, they're all women. So.
We are all women.
So just might make a note of that.
And we're not highly opinionated or competitive or anything.
Not a single one of us. Yeah.
And you're never obnoxious. Right?
Never. Never. No, not you. You could ask my husband. He'd even testify to that, right? Well, good morning. I'm Angie Verna, the Gage County Tourism Director. Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. It's my favorite holiday. So have to throw that out there. We've had kind of a busy few months since the last time I was here. I give you all a packet. I'll just kind of run through and summarize a little bit what's on there. In July, we had a bus tour on July 17th, and I served as a step-on guide for the day. At first, I was... I have to say, a year ago when I first started thinking about being step-on guide for bus tours, I'm like, oh, great. This is not necessarily one of my areas that I was thinking I was going to enjoy. But every group is fun. They're all unique, and they're excited to be visiting, and it's fun to see that excitement and what they're taking home. And every time we stop at a place, they're always kind of skeptical. Radigan Schottler Manufacturing is one that... they're always skeptical going in, and when they come out, they're just marveling in how neat of a place that they got to tour and how cool that tour is. And they always love going to Beatrice Bakery and their fruit cakes and their cakes that they purchase afterwards. And they always enjoy the Homestead National Monument, seeing that story. So it's always fun when we get to showcase what we do have, and what we take for granted day to day, they think is very special. So. I served on a bus as a step-on guide in July. I also did one in September, and most recently, just a couple weeks ago here in December. And when we started planning this one, she called and said, I want to come in December on, I think it was the 12th or something. And I'm like, okay, it could be a blizzard. It could be icy. It could be a beautiful, and we ended up with like a 45-degree day for our bus tour, so we couldn't have asked for anything more. I'm still an active member of the Heritage Highway Group. I'm on the nominating committee. We're looking at doing officers. We're going to meet and have our decisions made for recommendations by next week. I was just recently reelected as treasurer for the Southeast Nebraska Travel Council Group. We finished planning and implemented the Trail of Treasures, which was one of the Heritage Highway 136 events that spanned all of Highway 136 from Brownville over to the McCook area. And it was modeled after the Junk Jaunt or the Highway 36 in Kansas sales. And this year was our third year doing it, and it was by far the biggest year for Beatrice and Gage County. We were very excited. I had put together a community map, and we had over 30 sales just on the community map that I did. We know that there were a good, maybe probably 15 to 20 other sales that we'd seen signs for that didn't either hear about the map in time, or they just decided they didn't want to pay the $10 to advertise on the map, because, you know, when you're doing a sale, $10 is $10. So we're looking at continuing to expand that next year. One new thing this year, we had a central location, and we used Trailhead Park. Who all knows where Trailhead Park is? This is always fun. It's across the street from the museum. Most people were like, where? Trailhead Park? I've never heard of that one. So we need to either, if we're going to keep that location, look at how we can advertise the location better, or we've talked about a couple of other places that might be better. If we go just west over the bridge, there's Frolic Park area with the big white space. That might be a better fit because it might be more visible. Once you get into downtown, it was a little bit harder to see. And at the corner of 2nd and Court Street, people were just kind of turning and parking, and I think there were almost a couple of accidents because people weren't watching when they were parking. So that was a great event, a good success. We look forward to doing that again next year. We've started planning for Homestead Days in our office. That will be the June 14th through the 21st. One of the things the Tourism Advisory Committee has worked on, we reviewed our bylaws and made a couple slight revisions. I had sent Don a revised copy of that. And if you want, I can share that with you guys, too.
We also updated the Visitor Improvement Fund guidelines just with some of the legislation that changed. We realized that it hasn't probably been updated in 8 years, so we cleaned up some of the grammar and just made a few changes with that as well. Nothing too profound. We worked with the Beatrice Daily Sun to print visitor coupons that are given out to any of our visitors, and it has a little bit of history about Beatrice and Gage County, and it tells what the different sites are. So when we hand it out, they can not only get some deals with businesses here, they can also, I need to go check out this site too. I'm on the Promote Beatrice, and it's Promote Beatrice Area Committee. We talk about ways that we can get people to continue to buy local and think local when they do their different things. Laura Young, the executive director for the Chamber, and I have met with all but one of the hotel managers. So we've met with the Holiday Inn, the Capri Inn, Victorian Inn, and Traveler's Lodge for the ones here in Beatrice. We've met with Robin Stanishek from the Rice Lodge in Odell. We want to have another meeting with them just to make sure. We're looking at adding in quarterly meetings with them, just talking about things like customer service and kind of keeping everybody in touch about what the different events are that are coming up so that everybody is aware. Communication is very important, I think, when you're in the tourism business. The Heritage Highway 136 Association, we had our meeting in August in Beatrice, so that was kind of fun too. I got to showcase the Carnegie Building, and then we had a caterer that did our lunch. Trying to run through. I've attended most of the town celebrations that took place this summer, the ones that fit into my personal schedule too. So I know I was in Blue Springs, I was in Pickerel, I went to Odell, I was in Beatrice, the Homestead Days, of course, and so we're looking at expanding on that too. Maybe have a presence in the parades next year too for Gage County and the Chamber as a partnership. The State Fair, I worked a morning at the booth at the State Fair for the Nebraska Tourism Commission, and then I was able to take information from Beatrice and Gage County and put that out and help pass that out too. So it was a win-win situation, getting us more exposure, and I didn't have to pay for the booth, so that was nice. In September, we had an ad in the Daily Sun with 25 things about Beatrice section. I think we had the ad when they had Homestead National Monument, and I want to say, I can't remember what the other one was, but there were two different times that we placed an ad with that. In 2015, there's a group from Minnesota that will be coming through Beatrice three different times. So he's working with me on figuring out, they're going to be staying overnight, and then they want to have a community dinner. So we're trying to figure out some details on that. He likes it when you have, he suggested maybe the fire department put on the dinner for them where they pay for the meal. I talked to Chief Dakey, and he says, well, he'd be happy to entertain them. They don't cook. So he would prefer somebody else do the meal. So we have to work through that. The Steve with this group is very open to that and the suggestions. Whether we work with a service group or another nonprofit type of group or a caterer, we have to figure that out still.
Maybe the sheriff will cook for you.
There we go.
They make a lot. They got a lot of meals.
They do.
They might even put them up overnight.
Well, but they don't have actual forks. They've got four spoons, and so you can't. I'm not sure if they'll be able to eat.
We won't give them any tape or anything to shake.
Still, they get hurt.
Nobody can get hurt. I have been out taking pictures throughout the county just so that we have fresh pictures on file when I want to put together different ads or different things with my e-newsletter. I want to have pictures that aren't from the early 2000s because they get dated after a while. So that was, I've taken a couple afternoons and did that. I helped promote this summer. There was a hot rod show down at Chautauqua Park. So they came and asked to help make their flyer and helped tell about what they were doing there. There was a the Upper Midwest Convention and Visitors Bureau convention was in Lincoln this year, so I attended that. Next year it's in, I want to say, Minnesota, so I have to travel a little further for that one. I attended several business after hours, working with the Nebraska 150th birthday party is in 2017, and one of the things that this committee that's putting on the big party for the state of Nebraska is doing is working with an artist named Todd Williams to create paintings representing each county. So I've talked with him a couple times, and we're going to try and raise funds to put these paintings together that at minimum cost $3,500. Yes, I went into the wrong line of work. But no, they're beautiful paintings, and we give him ideas and put together a concept of what we want to see. Our committee has talked about having one for representing Homestead National Monument and one representing all of Gage County as a whole. So we're still working through the details on that. There's a ECAP. I don't know if any of you have heard about the ECAP survey that Engage and the Beatrice Area Chamber and Main Street have partnered with Extension Service. And it's a community survey that's going on right now. There's a link at the Beatrice Chamber website if you haven't done it yet. They're trying to get input from citizens to figure out what you think the most important needs are for improving our area and what we need to work on for goals. I was part of the core committee working on putting the questions together on that, and then I'll also be part of the group when we meet again in January. We've started planning our Beatrice Hoopla. It's the 9th annual youth basketball tournament on February 28th. You can all sign up to volunteer. We'll need help with concessions. We'll need help with admissions and all kinds of things that go along with it. We're working on soliciting a few more sponsors and program ads and just trying to continue to build this program. When it first started, it wasn't a two-day tournament. Then we switched it back to one-day tournament. For tourism, it would be great if somehow we could build it back up to a two-day tournament so that we can have people staying overnight to fill in those lodging dollars. Helped promote Septemberfest and Trail of Treasures, and served on the Explore It was a career fair at Southeast Community College hosted by the Department of Labor, and they asked me to serve as a panel discussion person representing a younger professional in the community, so that was fun, and also the nonprofit aspect. That was in October. I've been on the radio with Queeby. I guess it sounds like it doesn't feel like I'm this busy most of the time. So those are just some of the things that we've been working on. I've also been working on updating the Gage County Visitor Guide. Outside of one small detail that I'm waiting on, we're looking at adding a phone line for just Gage County Tourism. It won't cost us any more in my budget, but then it would be if you go in the phone book, you can see Gage County Tourism instead of having to find us through the chamber. So as soon as I get that final phone number, we can go to print on our Gage County Visitor Guide. So I'm very excited about that. I've wrote several support letters for groups like the Johnson Cabin Museum is trying to get placed on the National Register of Historic Places, so I wrote them a support letter. I've got to go back to the office and write another one for Homestead National Monument for a grant that they're applying for. So that kind of sums it all up. Some of the upcoming activities, kind of keep your ears open. The America the Beautiful Quarter release on February 9th and 10th that's featuring Homestead National Monument is very exciting. They're going to have a huge launch party on the 9th, they're going to have it open for coin collectors, and it's open to the public. But then on the 10th, they're having a big thing out at the high school, and there will be coin exchanges going on, and it's quite a big thing going on with that. Then in February 28th, we have our basketball tournament. May, we're looking at doing our tourism awards ceremony for our local tourism groups. October, Trail of Treasures. 2016 marks the 100th anniversary celebration for the National Park Service, as well as the 80th birthday for Homestead National Monument. So we should have some big celebrations going on in 2016. In 2017, there's a total solar eclipse that's going to take place, and Beatrice is on the line. That's one of the best places to view it. So we're looking at having an eclipse party in August of 2017. That's also the same year as the Nebraska sesquicentennial, which is easier to say, 150th birthday party. That kind of summarizes a little bit of what's been going on in the world of tourism in Gage County. Do you have any questions for me? Oh, I guess I didn't turn the page. Grant funds, right now we don't have any that have been awarded waiting to be paid out. I do have, this last month we had one, intent to apply come in with Beatrice YRI and the girls softball with Hannibal Park improvements, and they've asked for $16,600. The tourism committee reviewed it and sent back some suggestions when he comes back to apply. Otherwise, I have one, the Nebraska Baseball Hall of Fame has reached out and said he has some questions for me. They're interested in applying. But that's all we have. Right now, we have a little over $95,000 left to distribute in this fiscal year if we choose to. Lodging tax, I've also included that. I've got two charts in there for you. One was fiscal year end for 13 and 14, which we ended up with a 7% net increase for the year, which is great. I also have where we're at for this year, which is less great because right now we're sitting at down 17% compared to where we were at this time last year. So we're going to work on seeing what the difference is and try and improve that. But now I'll ask for questions.
I don't have a question. I just want to make a statement that, you know, Angie took over for Jim Spangler, and she's, from my view, from what I've seen, and I'm on the board as an ex officio, and what I see, she's doing an excellent job. She's taken what Jim did an excellent job when he was there, and she's taken what Jim's done, and she's added some of her own touches, and she's doing a good job. So I just wanted to make that statement.
It's been 1 year.
Yeah.
December 19th or something.
And I wanted to second that, Gary, because I think she's very personable, and you're meeting people and making them feel good about meeting you and Gage County. And not just City of Beatrice, but Gage County.
Gage County as a whole. Thank you very much for your time. Have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Motion to place the report on file, please.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Vote.
7-0. Set on file.
All right. We're going to have a closed session. There'll be no action afterwards. We're going to discuss litigation and personnel. Anything else that we need to discuss in open session? Again, there'll be no action afterwards. So I need a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest and or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of any individual.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Yo. Danny, come on now. Second by him.
I was just waiting. I was waiting.
You always want to go vote. In closed session.
Yeah.
I'll wait for you to vote against
it. Heard. All right.
It's 10:44.
Need a motion to come out of closed session.
Motion to come out of executive session.
Moved by Dorn. Yes, second by Hill.
Keller.
Hill. You want to stay in closed session? Motion by or moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Danny. Danny wants to come out of closed session. Let the show. Danny wants to come out of closed session. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the Board of Supervisors? See none. We'll adjourn 10:44.
Everyone have a wonderful holiday.